What's up, guys? It's the Black and Jew podcast, brought to you more consistently by Better Planning.
Better Planning. If you need better to get planning. Something done on a consistent basis, Better Planning is the way to go.
Yep. Oh, my gosh. Look at that. Episode what? 46?
43.
Episode 43.
It was 41 last time, and now it's 46.
Okay. Episode 46 of the Black and Jew podcast.
No, now it's really yeah. It's actually 43. Just saying how you haven't been on the episode game, Reggie. Okay.
I'm so sorry. I actually did say 46 and on accident purpose.
Okay.
Yes.
On purpose, on accident.
All right. 43. We're entering our mid 40s.
Ooh, sexy. We might have sex with a younger person, then regret it later, and then our marriage will fall apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
That's what everyone wants to happen.
That's the American dream, guys. It's the American dream.
So, you just came back from an audition, right?
Oh, it's just an audition open mic that they do at Flappers. It's every Wednesday. You can go up, and then you do 3 minutes. And if they like you, they book you. And if they don't, they don't.
Nice.
You
gotta That's fantastic. Do it
again. Yeah.
Good. Keep on doing it. Did you get booked?
Well, you don't know for a while, for a few days at least, because they put your email in the system, and then because they have so many shows of Flappers, it's like crazy.
Okay. So yeah. Like that's a known place.
They got like, it's like 7 days a week. They got everything, you know. They got big shows in the main room, they got open mics in the bar area, they got a bunch of shit, you know.
That's awesome.
It's pretty close to me, too, thankfully. It's in Burbank. It's in the Valley. That's where I do most of my stand-up, I'm finding, in the Valley.
In the Valley?
Yeah.
Where's all the, is, like, the Meltdown at the Valley?
No. Meltdown is in Hollywood.
Hollywood.
I could be saying this. Someone from LA could be listening to this and be like, no one says that. Stop it. Stop doing that.
Wait, what don't they say? Like, it's in Hollywood?
Do it in the Valley. I don't know. That's where I find myself ending up a lot.
That's one of those LA-isms.
LA-isms, I guess. Like saying you do something in Hialeah. You're like, I know where Hialeah is. Oh, the Valley. It's that area where all the porn comes from, is what I originally thought. But apparently there's a lot of open mics there, too. So, awesome.
I think porn stars and open mics go hand in hand. I bet there's a lot of porn stars there. Like, who is it? Dan St. Germain, he has a joke about how like porn stars are way more excited about their side projects than their actual porn. It's hilarious.
I could imagine, you know, like Sasha Grey. She's really broken out. Good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her.
You know who really broke out?
Who?
That woman by the name of Mia Khalifa.
Oh, the Lebanese porn star?
Yeah, apparently...
She didn't break out. She broke way into it. That's the problem that everyone has with it, is that she broke way in.
Like, what do you mean?
Like, if you're breaking out of porn, then you're doing something else, but she's fucking porning it up. That's her...
Like, that's her thing? That's her main? That's like...
Yeah, that's her main.
But she goes to FSU.
So that's her job. But I'm saying that she's doing the opposite of breaking out of the porn industry. She's entrenching herself as much as possible and becoming very successful.
Oh, I was saying breakout as in like, you know, like a breakout hit, you know? Like,
see what you mean.
Yeah, like that's what I meant.
Her number one hit. But it's like the Beatles song, except she's getting fucked by somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
which,
that's her breakout number one pussy pounding.
Yeah. So yeah, she's making it big. She's making big moves. Shouts out to Mia Khalifa.
Big Black fan of the podcast, you. I heard. Yeah, big fan of the podcast.
Big fan. It'd be really cool if we did get her on the podcast. That'd be pretty cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
I feel like a porn star would not be that hard to get because like they have a high profile but are a little more accessible, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Porn star is one of those okay. In terms of celebrity accessibility,
yeah,
old nerdy sci-fi movie actors and porn stars are about the most accessible like celebrities.
And both of their audiences don't have sex a lot.
Because see, think about it. No other, like, you don't see Brad Pitt at conventions.
No, you don't.
All right, you see Billy Dee Williams at conventions.
From the cast of Firefly, whose career isn't going too well.
Exactly. He's just selling his autograph, $50 a pop. He doesn't even look like that picture anymore. He's like, I'm way fatter than what I was when I was recording Firefly. Here you go, $50. Thank you.
Billy Dee Williams was in Firefly. I thought he was Lando Calrissian.
No, he wasn't in Firefly. I'm just talking about, like, in general, like, some Firefly actor. Yeah. Like, he's all just right. Like, oh, my gosh, I've let myself go, and my only source of money are these $50 autographs.
Please, give me money and validation.
So, yeah,
but
porn
stars. It's funny how coming out to Los Angeles, how you think of success, right? Because you're like from the outside, you're like, oh, man, like, I would take a bit part in a TV show. And then, like, you come out here, you're like, holy shit, a bit part in a TV show is so fucking hard to get. If I would kill for, like, just three seconds on camera, you work for a decade before you get that. Like, it's so funny when you actually come out here and see it for what it is, you know?
Yeah. The only person I know, like, in my, like, you know, with people I know, the only person I know that's actually making big moves in, like, TV or whatever is my friend Gabriel.
Uh-huh.
He's actually had, like, some significant background role parts and, like, mm-hmm. some speaking roles, and he's really making it big. He's doing it.
That's awesome.
The other time, one time, the fourth season of Mad Men, I saw an alumni from my high school. He had he was the black guy at a Don Draper's party.
He was the black guy. We need some more black guys. The studio heads are talking about diversity. God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah. So
wait, was he the one that the girl hung out with to make her look cool and edgy because he worked at a supermarket or something? Is that the episode?
I don't remember. No. Okay. His wife, Megan.
Yeah.
She throws a party at the beginning of season 4, right?
Oh, no, I didn't make it that far. I couldn't.
Oh, okay, never mind. Well, check that. That guy, he went to my high school, and he got, like, a lot of words, and he was on camera.
He got a lot of words. That's on his resume. Had a lot of words in Mad Men.
That's a significant amount.
Hell, fuck yeah, dude. That's hard as shit. I don't go on auditions or anything, but I don't know, man. It's like... That's another thing too. It's like there's so many directions you can go in.
Yeah, you could.
It's like where do I spend my time? You know, mm-hmm. like do I spend my time, fucking, because like I'm more interested in writing than acting. But it's like maybe I should be going on auditions, but I don't know. That's time I'm spending, and like how do I even get them? And it's like there's no fucking rule book. It's like did I make the analogy another episode where it's like you're playing rugby. And no one tells you how to play it, and then
actually you said it was soccer episode. Like you said,
yeah, it was soccer.
You did not make the,
and then someone switched it, and then someone switches it in the middle to it's really hard, and then someone in the middle switches it to rugby, and you're like, fuck.
Okay, same thing. I've always wondered how you can break into commercials and stuff like that, or like voiceover work.
Yeah.
Because, all right, Pete Holmes, he was the E-Trade baby for the longest time.
Yeah.
And Kyle Kinane, he's the announcer voice for Comedy Central.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, like it's kind of his voice is like probably, you know, more like it's filtered and put through like professional like microphones and stuff like that since they're using it all the time.
Yeah.
But he's the voice of the Comedy Central. So when you hear, you know, when you hear tonight at 8, you know, Comedy Central. Wow, that was almost pretty good, Kyle. That was a pretty good Kyle, almost. So yeah, how do you break into that? Because I would really like to do that.
You just gotta go on auditions and shit. You know,
I don't know how to act. I don't know how to begin. Am I too old to start acting, or is that like one of those things?
Reggie,
where...
you're fucking like what, 22?
Yeah, but
you're
don't
not
people
too
start
old for
at...
anything. You're not too old, Reggie. You are 22 years old. You are not too old for fucking anything except maybe like crib death. You're too old for that. You're too old to shop in the infant section at Target. You're too old for that. But that's like just the two Target? Things you're, yeah, Target, Kmart, you're fine. Because those babies, are you're making them fat now. But you're not, like, you're ridiculous. No, you're fucking retarded.
All right, cool. That's the pep talk.
Talk to me when you're 28. No, I'm just kidding. Like, you're not too old. Like, I would say, this sounds fucking ridiculous saying it in the context of the insanity that you just posited to me, but it's like, people find success later in life, and I'm saying this to a fucking 22-year-old, so go fuck yourself, Reggie, okay? You're not too old. Sorry, I'm getting angry, because I get angry when I meet people that are younger than me and figured it out what they want to do first, so...
You haven't had your Pediasure before bed, so
fuck off.
You know what I did? You know what I did this week that I'm very proud of?
What?
I made a garden. Like, in my backyard, there used to be nothing but rocks, and it was mm-hmm. like, it was very sad. Right? And there was nothing but weeds. But then, like, actually yesterday, as a gift to my mom and slightly as a gift to myself, mm-hmm. I made a garden, planted some marigolds, put some lavender in, and then, like, I'm gonna buy some seeds, grow them. I made a flower garden. I'm really
happy.
Maybe
you
about
are
that.
Too old to start acting. Never mind. That's once you put on that gardening hat, get out a spade. You know, like, that's like the cliche thing for every, like, woman over 55 in a movie. It's like, that's what she's doing in the front garden. With a hat on. It's just like, oh, hello, I didn't see that. Your son died in the war. Oh, no, my marigolds. They'll never be the same. He made me this garden. Oh, Hitler, you take everyone's life.
I want to read that cliche 60-year-old woman thing. That's what you should be working on. I need to read that one. The slapsticky mom who lost her son at World War II.
At the marigold fair.
No, and then, waited for my son. So I'm really happy for that. Like, I'm really happy. I'm gonna take care of that garden. It's better than getting a dog, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I could say, Hugo. Fucking dude, Hugo has been a thorn in our side, let me tell you.
He's like, for real?
He's cute. He's cute. Wait 1 second, I gotta text Christine and tell her to buy something at Target. So you keep talking and pretend like I didn't say that.
All right, we'll keep on doing that. So yeah, I'm really excited about this garden. And the other thing I'm really excited about is what's the other thing I'm excited about?
Okay, you know, well, you're horrible at ad-libbing, Reggie. I just want to let you know that. I'm just, you know, it's like, now that I'm busy, right? Like when I was back in Miami and I still had a bunch of free time because I was milking that cancer card. You know, I was like, yeah, we got to make everything perfect. But now I'm like, I got to multitask here. All right. Like, if Christine comes home, I got to say hi because I won't be able to talk to her later. I got to text her to get things at Target while we're podcasting. It's like, I'm a professional.
You're trying to make it happen.
He talks to Nia, but I mean, he's also funnier than me and more successful than people, actually. He actually has a lot more clout. So.
And people like Nia. They like it when she's on the podcast.
Oh, you're
she's
saying a good addition. They don't like Christine? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, with how established Bill Burr is. Look, get famous. Me or you get famous. Then we can start including the girlfriends in the podcast. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
Would you ever...
She has more interesting shit to say than both of us together. And
you know what? We should just...
She's way more interesting than us. Like, she's got... Like, oh, if we wanted to talk to her...
No,
most
definitely.
Talk to her about the fucking Cuba situation, right?
With diplomatic relations,
she has way more to say than us. We're just talking shit and speculating. She's like reported on that. It's funny. All these historical things happen in Florida right after we leave. She's like, oh, that's great. That's just great. The Cuba thing happens. Gay marriage is legalized. Oh, yeah, I'm okay with not getting any of those newsworthy stories. It would have been nice like 6 months ago if that shit happened, but unfortunately not. But
we
whatever.
Should just record
food
an episode.
Here, so who cares?
Just record an episode where Christine's on your end, Haley's on mine. We'll just have them talk.
I'm down with that. I'm down.
I am also
that.
Very down with that. Like,
let's
I'd,
pit
I'd
them
really
against,
like to do
let's
that.
Pit them against each other.
Pit them against each other.
Yeah, like make them argue. Be like, yo, I heard that Haley was saying you're ratchet, Christine. She'd be like, what? You're lucky this is over Skype.
I've never heard. Okay, I think Christine. Maybe because she's a journalist, she can like string together like a really nasty insult, you know? Yeah. But then again, she has the really nice factor working for her. So.
Yeah, she is nice. She doesn't insult people very much, but she can be really cutting, you know?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Is she, I mean, like, if she wanted to be, because she's just really smart. She's never, I've never seen her do it, you know? Like, maybe if she's like saying something about someone who's a fucking prick, she'll say something and I'm like, damn, that's cold. Like, fuck. You know, like if some, like someone can insult you, like find your insecurity and then like fucking pry on that, you know?
Like, she's like super, middle schoolers.
Yeah, she's really smart, so she could do that. I mean, I don't, she's not, she's just not a mean person at all, so I've never really seen her do that, but maybe sometimes if someone's being a huge asshole, she's she'll do it. And she curses now because of me too.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah, very good.
Really, I'm a poor influence on her. My friend Andrea, who introduced us, she curses all the time too because of me.
Oh, so it's always been around her.
Yeah, exactly. Her parents don't really curse that much, and I was worried, but now it turns out they do, and they might have just been holding back.
All right. Haley, she's really smart, way smarter than me. And, I like, if I ever make her mad and I can't win, like I honestly cannot win. And I'm okay with that because once she explains it, it all starts making sense. I'm like, oh, that's why that's dumb. Okay. That makes sense. And like, if I've seen her, like I've seen her express like, oh, I'm really mad at this person or that person.
Yeah.
So she'll more quickly get to that point. But like, she can be real low key or real high, you know, real, she can be real in your face, yeah, or real low key. She just switches up. It's like, you can't really match her. There's no like pattern, yeah, you know? So it's kind of scary dealing with her sometimes.
It's kind of scary.
Also, like, I'm really dumb. Like, I've been like, I honestly, all my girlfriends have always taught me, like, they've always like, you know, you're not making any sense right now. I'm like, yeah, now I know that, but it made sense when I was doing it. You know, just, I have that thing about me. Like, I don't know what it is, but.
You're a moron, honestly, is essentially what you're,
yes,
saying.
Yes, I'm
I agree,
moron,
with all your ex-girlfriends. I can see totally where they're coming from.
Like, I'll have moments where I'm like, oh, I'll do this thing because this makes sense in my head. And then upon when I'm actually doing it, I just like, I'm kind of just oblivious to it. I'm like, hey, I'm already doing it and I'm happy with what I'm doing. So I'm going to keep on doing this.
Yeah, I
and
feel someone that happens will point, to me all the time. Yeah, where I'm like, oh, that is now. And then they point it out and you're like, that wasn't remotely logical the way I was. Why would I do that that way? That made no sense now that you point it out.
You know what I hope I don't ever become? I hope I don't ever become like dad dumb. Do you know what I mean?
No. What's dad dumb?
Dad dumb is like, I see it all the time. I've seen it at the heat store. I sometimes see it at the cinema. There's like, there's a dad and there's a mom and there's like, yeah, at the most like, it has to be like, okay, it's up to, it's like one or two kids, right?
Yeah.
One or two kids. The dad is being a total, like, he's just being, he has his thumb up his ass, right?
Yeah.
Like, the dad doesn't get it. He does not know what's going on. He doesn't get it. And then he starts becoming dad dumb, where, like, you know, he's free to do something. Mom is doing something else. Kids are running amok, right? And the dad kind of just doesn't get to it. Like, he's almost there. You know, he's just forming the stimuli is coming to him and just slowly. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, kids are yelling, public space. Should I do something? Should I do something? And then the mom comes in and snaps at him. It's like, hey, wake up. Tell him to shut up. There's a movie going on or
Wait
something.
Wait a second. Well, first off, are you sure you're not describing an 80s sitcom?
No, I'm describing dad dumb. Dad dumb's
That's
a
not
thing.
Dad dumb. That's dad not giving a fuck. That is not
no,
dumb.
No, no, no.
That is like, not ignorance. That is willful, willfully ignoring something. That is not dumb.
Willfully ignoring not, something. I think
that
it's
is
dumb.
Not an inability to process a situation. That is processing a situation and choosing to ignore it completely. That's what
then
dad
that's
is.
Dad asshole. That's a dad
well, there
asshole.
There you go. You don't want to be a dad asshole, but you will. Just wait.
All right. So the dad dumb would probably be like, whenever I would ask a dad, like, oh, what size is your kid? He's like, oh, shit. I don't really know. I'm going to just go text the mom. And then
That's he doesn't go dumb. Buy the clothes. On behalf of dads everywhere, Reggie, I'm scolding you. I'm scolding you. Am are we waking anybody up in your house?
No, no, we're not waking anybody up. One, I'm all the way in the back room, and I'm at the farthest position from anyone else in the house.
What room is that? Is that your bedroom?
This one is my bedroom. Yeah,
this one's my bedroom. Weird to think you probably jerk off in that chair that you're talking to me from right now.
I don't jerk off in this chair.
Which chair do you do it in, Reggie?
None of these chairs. I don't like sitting down and spanking it.
All right, this is going to a place I didn't want it to go.
Well, you took it there.
I know I did, and I regret it. I'm sorry to you and to our listeners. Let's cut it out. No, just kidding. Edit. No way. I think it's funny how like I'm anal retentive about my coffee, but I refuse to edit the podcast.
That's fine. Don't worry about it.
But you know why I don't? You know why I don't edit the podcast? Because I want to be in a situation where I'm like, if I say something stupid, it's fucking permanent.
That's good. It's good to have like something that the court could go back on and like, see here, episode 43, minute 64. Mike said, you know, he would totally put a gerbil up his butt. Here you have a chronic
That'll stay in there. So have you been listening to Serial?
I actually haven't. I love the lack of direction of this podcast episode,
by the way. I think it's great.
We're going
all over the place. We're not focusing in. Are we going to take it for a landing? Find out next time on Black and... No, you're never going to find out because it's not going to happen. It's not how we do things.
It's not going to happen. It's not ever going to happen. I find, like, now that we work something out, I think we're just like... What do we work out?
You make it sound like we're separated, like your parents, separated. Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Desjardins, they work something out. They're like roommates.
They're... Now that we work something out, the podcast, you know, visits us every once in a week, and then, you know, Mike gets some of the listeners this week, and I get some of the listeners that week.
Finally, we can go back up on the charts because we slipped pretty far on Podomatic.
Oh, really? Where did we slip?
We slipped from number 3,565 to 3,590. No, just kidding. I'm not going to say. Okay.
Oh, you're not going to say? Okay. I'm not going to publish. We'll talk about it off there.
I'm not going to publish our statistics, but let me just say that people are going to start listening again now that we are going to do
weekly.
All
right, fantastic.
And I didn't realize that you made the schedule for your work.
Well, I started doing that now.
Okay.
Like, it's a brand new thing. Like, gotcha. It's not a thing that I've been doing for a while. And, like, yeah, so I started doing that, like, very recently. It wasn't a thing. They just finally let me start doing it. And now,
I have the power. I shall schedule this for my podcast. Bah, bah, ah.
I schedule around.
That's my invitation to you abusing power.
Oh my gosh. It's so good being in front of the house manager. I'm actually currently interviewing people.
What?
I'm interviewing people we have an open spot in the cafe and I'm interviewing people. And I don't like interviewing people. Because, you know, I like being on the other side of an interview because I nail interviews. Mm-hmm. All right. I nail them. I nail them. Sometimes don't get hired, but I nail them. Like,
well,
I know
you
I was a heavy.
If you
I was a heavy
hired,
consideration.
You were a heavy consider. You didn't nail
it. I nailed the interview.
You didn't nail an interview if you don't get the job. It went well, you can say, but you can't.
No, I nailed the interview. So, that's what happened.
So you nailed an interview. So you did something, and you didn't fully accomplish the goal of that thing, but you still nailed it somehow?
Look, someone's going to come in with a better resume, all right? So someone's going to come in with a better resume.
Yeah.
If I nailed my interview, my resume's all right. All right? I nailed the interview. If someone comes in with a better resume and does an okay interview, then they totally get the job. I mean, they're probably more acquainted. You know, they're more suited for it. So I nail interviews. That's why
What job was this that you nailed but a resume that was better came through, which I'm sure you knew because you totally had the job and were hanging out there afterwards.
Let's see. What job have I interviewed for? Dang. What job have I interviewed for? Actually, let's see.
This interview is going horrible. You're bombing this interview. You're not nailing it. The other interview went like this. Then you would be, I'd say, get out of my office, sir.
I'm trying to think. Actually, I think this is true. Every interview I've ever went into, I've gotten. Actually, gotten the job
for
that.
So that was a fictional scenario.
Okay, so I've gotten the job for Pincho Factory, for Urban Outfitters, Heat, and the cinema. And I've also gotten it for, and then I got it for this other store, but I said no to them because I got the cinema job. So, yeah, no, you know what? Still stays true. I nail interviews, all right?
Did you talk to the person? Were you like, hey, just want to let you know that I was just as useless as you 2 months ago, and now I'm the one interviewing here. And don't think that I know what the fuck I'm doing, because I don't.
I have somewhat of an idea. I used to interview at the Heat store, but what I don't like is that this is someone's livelihood. Like, if you're interviewing for a job, you need it, all right? And I now need to call people and tell them, hey, you didn't get it, and just pray that no one cries on the other side of the phone. Just, my gosh.
You call them back? That's nice. Some people don't even call back.
What? Some people don't call back?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Like, if there's a lot of applicants for a job.
Ugh, my gosh, who doesn't call back? No, you got to call them back, or at least send them an email, maybe a mass email. Oh, my gosh.
Even makes it more depressing. Like, they wouldn't even personalize it. Fuck.
No.
Yeah, I've been sending out a ton of fucking resumes. Holy shit. Ton of resumes. I've gotten emailed back twice. And I've sent
gotten emailed back twice?
Yeah, I've gotten emailed back twice. And one of them was like, no, we don't, we already filled that position. So I was like, hey, it's a start.
It's a start.
That's what's interesting. And it's funny, because I want to listen to these, like, in 10 years and maybe sob with how unsuccessful I am. Hopefully not. But look back at them and be like, hey, I'm in the same position I was 10 years ago. No. I want to look back at them and just be like,
call me up. Like, hey, Reggie, remember when we did the podcast together?
What's the insights that I had, you know, back then? How valid are they? Because one thing I'm noticing, all right, as a newbie in this industry, is that the talent, the labor supply, right, is so fucking high here that they can do whatever the fuck, like they can just treat you like shit, or they could, you know, be so discerning. They get like the fucking list of requirements for just an entry level receptionist job is like, what the fuck? Like, just holy shit, that's crazy. It's like, you got to know how to use Photoshop, you got to know how to use Final Cut,
what?
You got to know how to, you know.
What receptionist is going to be editing video?
You got to have a 4-year degree. You have to have at least 1 or 2 years in the industry experience. Like, you got to do all, like, the risk. And it's like crazy. And that's like the entry level thing. That's like the assistant position or something. Well, if you're working in an office and like you need
that
to like send out videos to people or something, you know, or you're writing script coverage, like you need to know how to use the software. Like,
that
helps.
Can't be real. See,
let me pull up the UTA job list right now.
Look,
and I'll show
you.
I
say that can't be real because what I know of the industry, it seems everyone's an idiot.
What?
Like, okay, so you're applying to, like, just, I just feel like everyone up there is an idiot.
Everyone up where?
Like, okay, like whatever producer, okay. The producer for, let's just say, 2 and a Half Men. That guy's an idiot.
No, he's not, because that gets really good ratings and makes a shitload of money.
No, 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 but like, okay, that's fine. But like, that guy's an idiot.
Why, like, is he an idiot?
Just because any guy could make 2 and a Half Men. Come on.
But is he an idiot if he's making a fuckload of money and getting... Because the thing is, they're making it for people. They're making it for what people want to watch, you know, and a lot of people like shitty stuff, so that's what they're doing. You know, like, could you, like, would you say that about, like, the CEO of Burger King? Like, wow, he's not making the best burgers ever. He's an idiot. Or is he making that mass-produced good that everyone wants, you know?
Okay, I see that, but, like, come on. Four-year degree for receptionist, Final Cut, and Photoshop? Like...
Yeah, let me try to, Let me try to find like a good one here. Where is it? I'm trying to find a good one because I there are ones that are kind of like you know, all right, but no, none of them require Final Cut, Photoshop. Damn it! Of course, when I'm trying to find, because I remember I had one that I would like send out to people and be like, this shit's crazy. If there's a lot of hyphens, you know.
Yeah,
whatever. I don't know. Like this one, for example. An administrative assistant, right? It says you have to be able to manage heavy phones and scheduling, possess strong leadership, communication skills, and have fundamental understanding of the entertainment media business. Prerequisites include a college-level degree, unless 1 year of relevant work experience. That's not that bad, I guess. But it's like you need to have like a 4 year degree and at least 1 year of experience to just be an assistant.
You know how long I've been lying about knowing the whole Microsoft Office suite?
Yeah, I think everyone lies about it. It's like you don't know it until you have to use it a bunch.
Yeah, exactly. Like I've been lying all this time saying like, yeah, I know how to use Excel. Come on, I know how to use, what's the other one? Word? Yeah, I know. I've been lying about that for so long. No, come on. People coming into that have to be lying too. Like,
I want to hear a cool job opening that I think you'd be interested in.
What?
Because you're a fucking weeaboo. Stories International, a subsidiary of Sega and Hakuto DY's production and literary management company, adapting Sega video games and Japanese stories into English language feature film, TV, digital commercial projects for a worldwide audience. Seeking executive assistant / story editor, must be bilingual in Japanese and English, 2+ years of experience at a production agency management company. We'll review stories in Japanese, provide creative input on assignments, blah, blah, blah. This is turned Sonic into a movie.
Turn Sonic into, that'd be horrible. Yeah. You know, okay, Sonic into a movie would make so much money, but you wouldn't want those people at movie theaters.
Why would you not want? Oh, yeah, you wouldn't want them in public.
Yeah, exactly. Like
that's a level of nerd that you can only get them in public to be in. That's as public as they go as a movie theater.
Sonic, for some reason, Sonic and like is closely tied to neck beards. Like if you're ever in the internet long enough, which I bet you have, and I bet you've seen this, but like people that really love Sonic are extremely, extremely like not. Not actually people? Like, ugh.
They're not actually people? Did you just say that autistic people are not actually people?
I did not say that. You said that.
No. They're fucking autistic. That's why they're like that. They're a lot of them are Asperger's. They're on the spectrum. That's why they like Sonic.
Who was it? I think someone said Sonic is exactly what Sonic is the coolest fifth grader. That's what Sonic is.
Yeah, he is. He is the coolest fifth grader.
Sonic is the coolest fifth grader because he can run the fastest. I don't know if it was big when you were in fifth grade, but like if you could run the fastest in my fifth grade, that had you set. Like,
oh hell yeah, dude! You're the shit if you can run.
You got all the juice boxes in fifth grade.
You got all the motherfucking juice boxes, son.
Gosh, so yeah, Sonic is the coolest fifth grader. Just running real fast and wisecracking, and you know every fifth grader's favorite color is blue. So
every fifth grader, everybody's favorite color is blue. Guys, come on.
Yeah, you only start getting like a real favorite color when you're in high school. That's when you start getting a real favorite color.
That's when you become an adult.
Yeah,
when you have a real favorite color.
And when you start saying like I don't care, then boom, that's it. At that point, you became like a real adult. Because I asked my mom and dad, like, what's their favorite color? They're like, I don't know. And then they try and cue up the knowledge of colors that they had back when they were a kid. But they can't bring it back up because they have to think about bills and stuff. So then they're like, green. That's my favorite color. That's the one.
You put a lot of thought into this, it looks like.
So yeah, Sonic's the coolest fifth grader.
Moral of the story is Sonic's the coolest fifth grader.
That is the moral of the story.
So I started taking improv classes.
Oh, sweet. How are those going?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. I'm the coolest fifth grader there.
you run the fastest at improv? Do you pull out the gun faster than everybody else?
Yep. Yeah, I'm taking it at UCB.
Taking a UCB. Freddie was almost at UCB's main, was almost in the UCB main cast, right? Yeah,
UCB main?
Like, there's a main cast,
like,
right?
That this tours is my UCB and stuff? Main bitch. This is my second city side bitch. I feel like if I use that voice here, people would get very uncomfortable. I feel like every white person I talk to here, I'm like, you don't have any minority friends, do you? The way I explained it to Christine today, it's like Miami's a melting pot, but LA's a charcuterie platter.
A charcuterie platter?
Yeah. It's like a plat. I know it's the whitest way to describe it, but it's the whitest analogy ever. But it's ironically, I'm trying to describe a lack of diversity. But it's like. It's like.
Whitest analogy is the name of your improv troupe.
Yep. I'm fucking keeping that. And it's just like, it's like a board with like cheese and meat on it. That's what a charcuterie is.
Oh, okay.
So it's like all the different things are there, but they're not mixed. They're just there.
Hey, what do you have in California since you don't have Publix?
Ralph's.
Ralph's?
Yeah, Ralph's.
Ralph's?
It makes me sad just the way you said it. I miss Publix.
Is Ralph's fried chicken as good as Publix? Have you tried that yet? Or does Ralph even make fried chicken? Does it have a sub? Does Ralph's make subs?
I think they do, but they don't have the reputation of Publix. It's probably, I mean, it's the same shit, though. They're owned by the same people that own Publix, but it's not Publix.
Well, then the people that own everything love Publix more because I've been to other grocery stores and they're not, come on.
Step well, game I up mean, Ralph's, stores. Kroger, and Publix are all owned by the same group.
Ralph's, Kroger, and Publix. Those look like, you know what those remind me of? The three brothers from Futurama.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
You know the mom's sons?
Three, no.
You know,
oh,
mom's,
yeah,
robotics?
Yeah. From mom's robotics, yeah.
Ralph, Kroger, and Publix.
Is that their name?
No, that's not their names, but I'm just saying, like, those three. Okay. Like, you know, Ralph, Publix is the leader one. Yeah. All right. The one that slaps everybody. I'm going to say Kroger is the really dumb one. And then Ralph's probably the guy in the middle.
Yeah. Mom, sons to the left, Inger, Larry, and Walt. That's their name.
Okay. Yeah. So you got a Ralph's. That doesn't sound very cool.
I'm glad that we have an episode, a title word to use. One of it's going to be something / public / something.
Okay.
Maybe I'll mention them on the podcast on Twitter and they'll be like, what? They podcasted about us? He gets a free sub.
They don't.
But Publix is the shit. Publix
it
is the shit. They get me. That's what Christine said. She's like, I was listening to the music at Publix and I feel like they get me. Get you.
Why don't you start like a second Twitter project where you just tweet, like, it's called Christine Says.
And adorable tweet, shit. Adorable shit, yeah. Christine Says.
And then you can make an Urban Outfitters book for her, and then, you know, it'll
and then it'll just spiral with, it'll spiral out of control.
I'm listening to the music at Publix and it gets me. I'm gonna walk
through.
I feel
like they get me. I'm like, that's an interesting way to feel gotten. by a large grocery chain.
The ambient music at the Publix really gets me. I'm going to walk for an hour. I'm going to do an hour's worth of walking at Publix, and I'm going to see if anything, like if it strikes me like it did Christine. And I'm going to also take a list of like what was actually being played, and I'm going to see what Christine's made up of.
Publix is the shit, man. I miss it. I miss minorities and I miss Publix. Those are the two things I miss a lot.
I can't wait till we're in episode 60 and you stop missing minorities.
I'm never going to miss the minorities because they're so colorful. There is a comic tonight. He's Haitian and he was talking about, he's like, yeah, people think you come from Haiti and people think we wear loincloths and shit. And I'm like, they wouldn't make that mistake in Miami because it's so multicultural. I miss Miami.
What was that comic you were telling me about last night? Like, the one that made the joke about the Amber Alert?
Oh, Jesus Christ. That one I didn't really mind as much, but it's just like the bad rape jokes. It's like, dude, just don't. It's like like with cancer, like cancer jokes don't bother me. It's cancer jokes that are hacky that bother me. It's the same thing with rape jokes.
What's a hacky cancer joke? Is it like
I don't know. Like,
is it like a hacky what? Cancer joke? Hacky cancer joke. Okay, could it be like something?
I've heard one. I'm not going to mention. There are some comics I know that I'm not going to mention that have hacky cancer jokes. But I'm just like, eh. Like, that doesn't, like, cancer is such a rich experience. Why would you joke about something? Like, it doesn't offend me. It doesn't bother me. It's just like, ugh, that sucks. And it's like
you're not touching on the real stuff.
It's like a cheap laugh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like the shock value. It's like rape jokes. It's like, whoa, he said rape. This guy's zany. Like, shut up. No.
I hate... You know what? When you said like cancer, like being such a rich experience, and I feel like a lot of people, like, it's really easy to get this is obvious, but it's really easy to not hit the right points when you haven't experienced that. Like, your cancer material is good because, well, duh, you've been through cancer. Yeah. And like someone who has someone very close to them that's been through cancer can really hit that point in the cancer material. But if you're just standing outside, oh, you know what? Who put it best? It was the episode of W. Kamel Bell with Pete Holmes on You Made It Weird, where they're talking about like single guy comedy jokes. Like single guy comedy. There you go. Like, you know the types of jokes that you make because you're single? Well, I don't know. I was gonna say something stupid, but
fuck it.
Okay, I was gonna say like, hey guys, anyone ever like sit down on their hand so that way it feels different when they masturbate? Like, like a dumb joke like that.
Yeah.
Like, see, you chuckled, but. But that's
it's so ridiculous, the premise of someone saying that.
Yeah, the premise of someone saying that is ridiculous. But like single guy comedy, like a single guy that has not experienced anything and is making jokes not about kids or like about life, but like just about like a weird experience they had at the Ralphs, you know?
Yeah.
And that's single guy comedy. But when you start living, which is very important, and we've said this before, but when you start actually living and moving forward and doing things in your case, like getting cancer and surviving it.
Get cancer, everybody. Your comedy will be the better for it.
Because you'll know real suffering. You'll be knocking on death's door and he'll answer and he'll wait to see if you can come in or not. And he'll close the door if you survive. But if you don't, well, guess what? No more comedy for you. So single guy comedy, you know?
Wait, we're going. This episode almost had structure and it was almost substantial, but then we lost it. God damn it! That's why I don't make jokes about the black experience because I'm not black. You know, it's like, well, black people do this, or like black people are like this. It's like, no, but I'm not black, so I don't really know what it's like to interact with the police.
It's only like, we almost had it. Almost. You know what this is like? You know what this is like? This is like a couple that's had like a bit of trouble being intimate, and like, you know, the guy, you know, well, this is very like, this is for hetero.
We need a spoon, is what you're saying?
We need a spoon. We need to warm it up. You gotta, you know, we gotta rub the right places. Kiss my neck a little.
Okay. Breathe on it.
Breathe on it.
Some pottery with you.
You know, maybe we could watch. Maybe we could, you know, use the computer a little bit. You know, maybe we could do something beforehand. I don't know. Want to go to dinner? Have a nice date beforehand?
Sure.
This is what happens when
it's
like
an end of the day. It's like a meeting on a Friday before a holiday.
Yeah. Exactly. This is what it's like.
Let's try to get it back in the groove. Let's talk about this issue that's pressing about why this shit's not funny. Because somebody said, all right.
Someone said that?
Let me give you a little rundown of these brilliant jokes. One was, men are the victims of rape because of false accusations. And one was, I know someone who doesn't think Bill Cosby is funny, the women that he raped. That just, like, you could hear everyone cringe. It's just like, ah, fuck.
Oh, gosh. That's
horrible. I hope I don't accidentally tell this person to listen to the podcast and I'm on here talking shit about it.
Well, given that they made those jokes, I don't think you need to be worried about them. I don't think they have that much weight in the LA comedy scene. So
no, that's not what I'm worried about. It's just going to be awkward. That's all.
I'm not
worried about getting snubbed from an opportunity. I'm worried about, like, oh, hey, man, yeah. Oh, no, it was a different guy that made a Cosby joke.
I heard you talking shit about me, huh? You don't like my Cosby joke? Well, maybe you should get Cosby'd. Ugh, that probably would be the comment that they'd make. All right.
Do you ever follow Open Mic Comic on Twitter? Do you follow
Open
him?
Mic? What? Oh, that's a Twitter?
Open Mic Comic? Yeah, have you seen it?
No, I haven't. That's Holy smoke, funniest, that sounds amazing.
That is the fucking greatest thing. It's just like tweets, really bad premises that you hear at open mics all the time. Whoa! I got 50 notifications on Twitter. It's like fucking Christmas. It's crazy. What the fuck happened? Who did I retweet? Okay, anyways.
Open Mic Comic.
Let's see. Speaking of is a great way to transition. I'm going to pretend I've never heard of Kanye instead of Paul McCartney. I'm so mad at someone at a mic that I'll vaguely hint at who it was later on Facebook. WebMD diagnoses everything as cancer.
Yeah, that is a very... Oh my gosh, this is...
Friends is on Netflix.
That's great.
Some of these are for me. As a matter of fact, Lynch, anyone doing that joke again, it's a meme now, you drizzling turds. Learn your craft. And finally, since it's 2015, we can rehash the Where's Our Hoverboard joke from 10 years ago.
Ugh.
Oh, no. Since it's 2015, can we rehash the Where's Our Hoverboard joke from 10 years ago?
Yeah. What is it? Okay, so this is interesting.
It's super funny.
That's hilarious. But what I find really interesting is that we laugh. Okay, that Twitter account probably has a ton of followers, right?
It's got like 2,600.
That's a significant amount. That's 2,600 people that say, oh my gosh, that does happen. And you know what?
It's 2,600 people for a thing where it's like not everyone's a comedian. This does not
exactly
speak to the general population. This speaks just to comedians. It's got 2,600
exactly
people.
And that,
and the person
and
hasn't
that,
identified themselves either. So.
Oh, perfect. And that's brilliant because what is it about, like, okay, so you got a pool of open micers,
yeah,
and then you'll hear, like, in a night, like, brand new open micers, you'll probably hear like two or three jokes about WebMD always diagnosing everything wrong.
Yeah,
like what? You know how you know, like, archetypes and how they work? Do you think there's like some hidden things, like, oh, like every singer wants to sing a Mariah Carey song or something. Well, like every comedian like starting out wants to make a WebMD joke or totally needs to pretend like
it's an obvious observation that's kind of clever, you know?
Yeah.
But like there's some things I hear, I'm like, I'm not going to make a joke about that because everyone's going to pick up on it. Like I've been at a mic and I was like, holy shit, that person just did something that opened my comic tweeted. I'm like, holy shit. I was at a mic today and it was either a bad tweet or an old joke. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, that's your bit? Is a bad tweet? Or maybe it's just an old joke. I don't know.
You know what I really love?
I feel like such an asshole when I talk like this, by the way. I don't know. I feel this guilt of making fun of comedy. I don't know what it is about comedy specifically. Like, I don't really give a shit about making fun of movies or making fun of music, but like, I don't know. It's something about comedy. I feel like it's like sacrosanct. You know, do you feel that way at all sometimes?
I feel that way. You know what it is? It's because I'm very like, I'm only 2 years in and but there's just these things that are just so insanely obvious that you just don't like, don't touch on that. Be more creative and like, don't do that. Like, come on, WebMD diagnosis. Who in their mother hasn't gone to a party and said like, well, I've had a mix up with WebMD. Everybody has. That's why you don't make that joke.
I was actually thinking about doing a WebMD joke, right? I was going to say, this is how useless WebMD is, all right? I went on WebMD and I diagnosed myself with costochondritis. And I was so sure of it. And I go to my doctor. I'm like, yeah, I think I got costochondritis. And he's like, no, you don't actually. And I'm like, WebMD's wrong. He's like, you have cancer. So I'm the only person not diagnosed with cancer on WebMD. And I actually had cancer.
Whoa. Mike's throwing it away. Mike's changing up the whole format. He thinks he has the real thing, but ended up with cancer. What? That's crazy, Mike.
I'm not going to do that now.
You can't do that. Sorry. You can't. What? I was going to say. Okay. No, damn. I lost it. I was going to say something.
You're fucking up the podcast, Reggie.
Late
night podcasting.
Late night podcast. It's currently 11:30 here in Miami.
It's currently 8:26 here.
What is 8:26?
Fresh. 8:26. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go crazy. Go wild.
You're not gonna do any of that stuff.
I'm gonna go out after this to things. I'm going to go to a show that is a comedic show. I am going to go to a open mic, and then I'm going to go to an improv jam. I'm going to do improv. It's like an open mic for improv.
What? An improv jam?
Yeah, that's what it's called. I did not know what that was until I took this improv class. Improv is so different from stand-up comedy. Like, the environment, everything is so different. But this class is helping me because actually some stuff that I went to some other improv show, and I was like, oh, okay, I see why he taught me this. That makes sense. You know, like, this is a useful thing to have.
Do you play any of those improv games? Like those, scenes or games, or I don't know how it goes in improv. Or like,
Should have thought about it before asking the question, I think, Reginald.
Well, I don't do improv. You know what it is.
I've taken one class.
Well, what have they taught you?
We played games. Like, we did one thing where we all sat up in a we sat in a row, and we like it was like a panel, and we had to make up who we were, and then you had to like support each other by like, you know, doing yes, then, and if then, you know, like they asked us, so how do you guys, or why are you guys together? And I'm like, we're a football team. They're like, oh yeah, what's your name? Like, the Minnesota Killers. And someone's like, yeah, it's really hard for our team because our fan base is really rowdy. They're actual serial killers. And I'm like, yeah, they got mad at us for cultural appropriation, but we fought it and now we're okay. And then like, then one of the people's like, yeah, we're going to play a bunch of toddlers next week. And I'm like, toddlers are easy because their bones are soft and they're not fully developed. And like, we just, you know, went on like that. And one of them was actually really interesting because there's this thing called establishing base reality, which you don't even think about when you watch improv, but it's super important. Is like, you need to establish who you are and you need to establish your relationship right? Within three lines. So we all lined up on either side, right? Two lines. One person initiated, one person responding, right? So you, it feels like kind of stiff, but you would go, like you would say something, and someone would say, yes, and blah, blah. Yes, and blah, blah. So I was like, I went in and I was pretending to be filling up a keg of beer, and I'm like, yeah, man, this next party is going to be epic. And the person says, yes, it's going to be epic, and I'm happy we're having it at your grandma's house. And I'm like, yes, we're having it at my grandma's house, and I hope she doesn't have a heart attack like the last party we had. So then it's like, okay, who are these guys? They're at a frat party at their grandma's house, and then they hope she doesn't have a heart attack like last time. So you know exactly, like you have the scene set up. Because sometimes you'll watch it, you'll watch an improv show, and then it's like, who the fuck even are these people? It has no grounding in reality, so nothing's funny. Because like it's funny when you have an established based reality, right? And then something comes in and is, if they call it the first, is it the first weird thing? It's another word. The first unusual thing. And then after that, you escalate it. So it's like, let's just make it weirder. And then this on top of that and blah, blah, blah. You know? So it's like, and it's like, you don't really think about it when you watch it. And they're like, oh, okay. So this makes sense. And then I watched like, I watched some like indie improv show. And then I watched Tina Fey and Amy Poehler doing improv. And I'm like, whoa, these people, now I get what the fuck is up, because I know exactly what's going on immediately, and then it's funny immediately because they're taking this relationship and then turning it into
that sounds like
somewhere really weird, you know?
That damn, you know, that sounds insanely valuable for like just stand-up comedy as well.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You'll see like a lot of comics that'll just like they think their idea is funny and they'll roll with it just thinking that, oh, my idea is funny, so I don't need to worry. But like, it doesn't establish itself. Just like you said, it doesn't establish itself in some reality or in some like the premise does not establish itself. So then it's just rolling and rolling, and it's just funny to the comic, but nobody else because they don't understand. That's why I think, oh snap, that's why you'll see a lot of comics that will always like, well, you know, starting out, you'll always see like a lot of young comics say, "You guys ever wonder?" And then it's like, then it establishes that like as a thought that the comic is having. And now let me prep myself for like his thought. You guys ever wonder why your mom's always sweaty? And then they'll be like.
That is the greatest. That is the fucking. That is the greatest setup. If I heard someone go on stage and be like, "Hey guys, do you ever wonder why your mom's always sweaty?" I'd be like, this is going to be fucking great. Holy shit. That is so funny. I'm going to do that tonight. Be like, "Hey guys, do you ever wonder why your mom's always sweaty? And she looks like really wet, like some barbecue ribs."
Like, I don't really, like, maybe it's not your mom, maybe it's mine, but like all my friends' moms and my mom are really sweaty. It's crazy.
Is that a real thing?
No, that's
for
not
a second
real thing.
I thought you were being serious. I'm like, what? I'm like, is that it? Like, what is that?
It's called acting. I just got it. Hey, Christine.
Establishing. Hey, sweetie. I was going to do the incognito and be like, yeah, let me just wave to her because the podcasters can't hear it. But Reggie just said, hey, Christine.
Oh, hey, Reggie.
She says, hey, Reggie, look at that. Look at that. We're talking about the sadness that is comedy and improv, and then this beautiful ray of journalistic sunshine comes in.
All right. Don't look at my room.
It's got a lot of anime in it.
There's,
I love it. Yeah, I was going to just say, hey, what's up? But now we've gone full out and I got the kiss. Are you going to ask, do you want to ask me how my day went so I could do it on the podcast? Be like, yeah, it was all right, I guess. I'm not really going to do that. She's looking at me like, yeah, I would actually love to hear that.
Look, the whole premise of your mom's sweaty is yours. Take it, roll with it.
I realize it's so different. Stand-up and improv are just so different, you know?
But I always hear that, like, if you want to do some good stand-up, you should take some improv classes. Like,
oh,
just
really?
Right now,
with
the concept you just told me, that just made me more aware of what I'm saying, like, on stage. Yeah. Like, just the idea of, like, giving everyone a reality. And like, because, you know, stand-up focuses on like skewing reality or like, you know, turning it on its side or like, you know, creating dissonance so that way people can laugh. So like if you can establish a reality very early and like very effectively and like it's grounded, then people are more prepped to laugh because they have some like a base. Like it's kind of like having something to make fun of, or like people that can laugh.
That's a good point. I did not apply that to stand up at all. I didn't even consider doing that. So that's good that you brought that up. Didn't even vaguely consider that. I wanted to do it just for writing's sake, just to be able to create characters, you know, and like what works and what doesn't. You know what's a great example of a base reality that makes the show incredibly successful is The Office.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Michael Scott is such a good character because he has a base reality that's an office and he acts like a fucking crazy person, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like someone was like the teacher was like, yeah, but if you're just like astronauts with horse heads, then where the fuck are you going to go from that? You know, don't start off silly. And it's like, that's what makes like, that's why I think mockumentaries are great. Cause it's like you have these absurd people in the most real situation possible.
Yeah. And that's so true. You can't start off like weird. You can't start off weird. You have to let people, you have to coax people into it. You got to go somewhere. Exactly. Yeah. Astronauts with horse heads.
That's what he said. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. It's like, we're astronauts with horse heads.
How are you talking? Why are you on a mission? Are we in space already? You're giving people too much to think about at first. When you said frat party, people already formed the schemas in their head and they painted the picture. And now you can like be weird within that picture.
Like I've been at a frat party and then it's like, oh, if that happened at a frat party, that would be strange. Like he's passing out feminist pamphlets. You know, like that's weird. And then where do you go from there?
Are they escorting everyone that's too drunk back to their dorms? That is weird in a frat party.
A great thing is like Monty Python is in the book there's a manual, the UCB improv manual, and one thing they use is Monty Python, the cheese shop sketch, right?
He goes
into a regular cheese shop, John Cleese, and they don't have any cheese in the shop, and he slowly figures this out because the cheese shop's empty. He's like, "Do you have Limburger? No. Gouda? No. Gruyere? No." And they're just like going through all these different cheeses, and it's like they establish the base reality of the cheese shop, and then the first unusual thing is they're using it as like, this is the premise, this is the game, right? Because like every sketch has a game where it's like the game is cheese shop, no cheese. You know, that's what it's about. Yeah, so
that's pretty dope. I never thought of it that way. I want to take some classes.
And it's good. It'll get you used to needing to get the laugh right away too, which is
invaluable. To wait for the big payoff, like to allow yourself to like, you know, put your
and to feel comfortable in silence so you're not making the audience uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. They can feel that when you're like, especially when when like someone points out that it's silent, that's funny for the moment, but it's not long-term funny because now
that
they
gives
know.
You like a that gives you a window that like pries open, like so you can stick your head through. But it doesn't necessarily, that's if you don't have something good after that, then, you know, you fucked. All right. So I'm so happy we hit our stride right as the podcast is ending. That's just great. Awesome. I didn't mean that to come off as bitter because it's okay. I'm not really upset or anything like that. So don't worry, Aunt Stelly, because I know you're listening to this. But I think it's about time to wrap it up.
Yep. Let's wrap it up.
So find me on Twitter, Mike Marianoff. And also find me on Twitter. Fuck it. And Reggie?
Find me on Twitter. I know I don't tweet a lot. Actually, not at all. But hey, I'm busy. I got to do stuff. And
follow me instead.
I got a garden to tend to. But if you feel so inclined, Ratchet_Reggie at Twitter.
Yes, awesome.
At Twitter. Awesome.
All right, guys. So until next time.
See ya.